you have reached the Not In Our Name Project. Whoever you are, wherever you are, what's the line you haven't crossed yet to show your determination to stop this war? The line may be different for everyone, but whatever it is, prepare to cross it in large and small acts of courage, singly and together, to stop the war on Iraq. You can visit us online at www.notinourname.net. Also, drop us a line by email to let us know what's going on in your area or if you have any new ideas or ways you could help. Email is info@notinourname.net. Thanks, and please leave a message after the beep, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911.
A non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Free America.
Let me jump right into this. I'm joined by Stank and Condor. Condor, thank you for joining us.
No problem, anytime.
All right, and Stank, how you been?
I'm still living.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you're living because I'm going to read a meaningful email from Kleptic. I'm opening the show with this email. I'm going to give a little disclaimer. We haven't ranted about the war. We haven't talked a bunch of shit. I'm sure if you've been to the site, you know, or the other places where I lurk, you can tell how I feel about this war. So that's a disclaimer. I'm not gonna talk a bunch of shit. We're just going to read this email from Kleptic. The media's coverage of the war in Iraq by Kleptic. Tomorrow on the new popular reality television show, War in Iraq, good old Bush is still angry at Saddam. But no one's quite sure what he's angry about. Could it be the fact that Saddam picked on GW's dad? Could it be over oil? We're not quite sure. But who cares? Because it makes for some good television. Yeah, I was being sarcastic. Jeez, war is all over TV right now. Last night we watched Iraq get bombed live on CNN. How freaking morbid is that? And news reporters would pop up on the screen and give you the play-by-play on what's going on. Then suddenly they give you the stats of a freaking Scud missile. A fancy graphic would pop up on the screen with an animated Scud missile rotating, and a reporter would give you its stats like a fucking football game. Well, last season, the Scud can only get 1,000 miles due to a chronic knee injury. Bullshit. This isn't a reality TV show. This isn't just another sport people can get drunk and sit around eating pizza and rooting for the home team. This is fucking war. Innocent people are dying live on TV. People need to stop and think about what they're doing for a second. I hear next week Bush and Saddam are going to fight over a girl. Then they're going to do the Road Rules Real World Challenge. Just what I heard. Sorry for the ranting, but it just kind of pissed me off. P.S. The show last week ruled. Kleptic. Good email. He's so right.
I thought of the same thing right when he said about the stats. And I watched CNN at school. They have the... That's all they show is CNN. And...
We can barely hear you, Condor.
Huh?
We can barely hear you.
That's exactly the same thing, is that they have stats of these things. And they treat it like a football game.
Exactly.
Commentaries, they have the previous generals, like past coaches.
Yeah. All right. Fuck the disclaimer. What is this war about? We do not know. It's definitely not about weapons of mass destruction, because we are not in danger from any of Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. You are not in danger. Do not be afraid. Second, is it about 9/11? No. Iraq and 9/11 might as well be mutually exclusive. Okay? It's got nothing to do with terrorist attacks. So this is not continuing the war on terror. Third, liberating the Iraqi people. What is it? Operation Iraqi Freedom, if I recall? Bullshit. Right? They're sullen at best. What was the term I heard that was also heard during Vietnam? They'll come around, right? They don't want to be liberated. Liberated from what? They get their fucking houses bombed. They get blown to shit. Their infrastructure's destroyed, including their telephones. God damn it. You mess with telephones, man. Oh, man. And what? And that's liberation? Great. Thanks for liberating us, assholes.
Operation Cheap Oil.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't think it's that simplistic. I don't think it's all about oil. I don't know what it's about. I don't think anybody really knows what it's about except for the people up top. They know what it's about. They haven't told us the truth. You know, they manipulate everybody. The news media is fucking worthless. I don't know what to do. You know what? Go be active. Guess what? I kind of knew I was going to say fuck that disclaimer. So guess what? Go to these sites. Go to indiemedia.org. Go to democracynow.org. Go to notinourname.net. And go to unitedforpeace.org. Please go to those sites and be active. Please be active. It's not masturbation. You're getting out, you're doing something. This year, you're making your voice heard. Okay. How you guys doing?
Doing okay.
All right. Stank?
Still alive.
Good deal. All right. You'll notice that Mute is not on the show. That is right, Mute is not gone. He's actually, his ass ramming is continuing until June when the session is over. He's concentrating on other things, and he will not be with us until June. So we will miss him. He will be around. He will be within the community writing and visiting with people. So don't worry, Mute will be back. Hopefully he'll be able to contribute a little bit while he's on this hiatus. Yeah, but don't worry, we've got lots of special guests like Condor here, old school,
yep.
from the number one show, man. Condor was there, and he's back again. He's going to be talking some Linux. We've got some Linux gaming. We've got some guests that are going to be talking about e-zines, and we've got some definite elite freaks that are going to be on the show, so stay tuned. No Mute, but lots of other things coming up. Now, speaking of shows, future shows, I got an email from Mick J. If anybody knows Mick J, knows that name. That name is from Spastic Audio Breakdown. He has that show. I think it's, ArmageddonProject.com. And he writes, "Hey man, don't know if you remember me, but I do Spastic Audio Breakdown on Rant Radio. In fact, you were the first, and I think the only, person to reply to my thread about wanting to do a show on Rant Radio. He actually posted on the Rant Radio forums, and I saw that, and I went and checked out his show, and I really enjoyed it. He played great music. It was the shows that he had, to show everybody what it was like were more music, and then him ranting in between. And he played great music, you know, stuff you're not going to hear, really, you're not going to hear on Rant Radio. So I really enjoyed that. And I liked his, I liked his swearing. I liked his, not anger, not angst, but, he just let it all loose, and I really enjoyed that. So I told him that. I said, "Hey, Sam, that's awesome. Get him on the rotation, you know?" He writes, "Anyway, Smokey, Smokehouse, and I were talking about me making a change of days. Basically, it comes down to this. I'm looking for a new day to switch to, and Rumbling Sky, who does the diagonal perspective before you on Wednesday nights, we're talking about wanting to have our shows on the same day. Well, RS, Rumbling Sky, can't switch to Thursdays. and I'm going to go insane if I have to stay on Thursday nights for personal reasons. And there's no other open day or time that I'm comfortable with. By the way, this is the first time I've read this email. Since your show is pre-recorded, I was wondering if it would be possible to switch days, time slots with your show. Let me know what you think of this. Thanks in advance, and thank you again for giving me a thumbs up to get on Rant Radio. No problem, Mick. I do like your show. I still enjoy it. A proposition about our rantradio.com shows. Okay. Do we want... Yes. Our show is pre-recorded. But... Let me think about this. But you know what? You guys tell me what you think right now. Off the top of your head.
Well, we are pre-recorded. Whatever day it airs, because of that fact, is somewhat irrelevant. However, I can't help but wonder... we're pushing it back one day, which has good and bad things. The good thing, obviously, is one more day to procrastinate, which we are so good at doing because we are recording this. When is it again?
it's about 2 hours before we stream the show.
We're almost live.
Yeah, almost.
So it gives us another day because, you know, we have schedules and we work and everybody knows that. But at the same time, my worry is that sometimes we record earlier in the week, and I'm afraid that something might be stale. We might be talking about something that's several days old by the time we go on Thursday.
Always a danger.
Yeah, and it's also possible that we miss something big that we've already recorded, and then, you know, Wednesday something happens, and we've already recorded on earlier in the week. So it's pluses and minuses, but overall, I don't really have a problem with it.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I just whacked the mic there. You know, it is pre-recorded, but I chose Wednesday because, well, it worked with my schedule, and apparently it worked with Rant Radio's schedule as well, so there is reasoning behind that. Right now, off the top of my head, I'm going to have to say no.
Also,
what's that, Connor?
We planned this. We had thought about which day to do it from the beginning. We tried to plan these things out.
Very true. Very true. We have tried to plan this out, and that's why we chose Wednesday. Right now, I'm going to say no, but I'm not going to. That's not set in stone. You know what? I'll tell you what. Everybody who's checking out this show, let me know. Would you mind if we move to Thursday? Right now, honestly, it really won't work for me. It's still convenient for me. Yeah, as convenient as it can be. It's a lot of work to stream on Wednesday nights. I want everybody that's checking out this show, whether it's the stream, whether you downloaded it, let me know. Would you like it to be on Thursday nights? Is that better for you? Seriously, to the single person who's listening to the show, is it better for you to have this show on Thursday nights?
You know, something else just popped into my mind, too. Another reason that it was good for Wednesdays is that we were the Wednesday show, and there were other shows on Tuesdays. There were other shows, when I say other shows, other hacking, underground, freaky shows.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering now how the others are doing and what days they're on and whether or not we're going to be, you know, in a conflict with someone else or some other show that people might want to listen to, and I don't want it to turn into that kind of situation, you know?
Yeah, it used to be, I agree, it used to be Off the Hook on Tuesdays, us on Wednesdays, and then HackerMind on Thursdays.
Right.
What happened? Well, of course, HackerMind went away. Also changed to Wednesday nights, albeit before us. And the other show now is In the Now, and they're just monthly. So.
Well, and there's also Hacker Nation, which is Saturday.
Yeah, Hacker Nation with Ray Moore. Very true. So that's, you know, that's its own thing right there. We don't have to worry about that. So I don't know. Right now, my inclination is to say, no, you know, I'm kind of digging this time slot. It works for me. Of course, you know, hey, if I'm forced by Rant Radio to do something, that's fine. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But everybody, let me know. Let me know how you feel. Tell me about the show on Thursday. Would it work for you? Mick J. And check out Mick J's show. It's good stuff, man. I enjoy it. You know, he's got some good ranting. It's pro-war stuff, crap, but hey, that's okay. That's my view. You know what? With all this crap going on, the war and no mute and moving the show, I think we need something new, something fresh. Is that like marketing? Fresh! We need Stank's Hardware Reviews. That's right. Stank is actually putting together a giant Franken box and he's going to review the parts as he builds it. And this is a big honking fast freaking box, is it not?
Well, it's an upgrade from what I have, yeah. I think it's the baddest thing out there, but it's going to be my new main machine, if you want to call it that, my hacking/gaming machine.
Very nice. So what is the component you will review today?
Well, I think we should start with the heart of the machine, which is the motherboard and the processor.
The MOBO.
That's right, the good old MOBO. I have currently the system that I'm just putting it out to pasture, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to move it over and probably use it as a testing some different Linux distros on it, but that's a P3866. And it still does pretty good. It's a powerful machine, and
oh yeah,
it's the job done, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's probably, I guess, 2 to 2.5 years. I don't know. Maybe it's not quite that long, but it's been a while since I bought this, and, you know, as software evolves and develops, you know, it's becoming slower and slower. It just can't keep up with some of the latest games and some of the newest tools and yada, yada, yada. So I made the decision. Actually, I didn't make the decision. I am the world's worst impulse buyer. So I went to the computer show down here and this weekend. I actually had no plans of going. A friend of mine asked me if I wanted to tag along, and I'm like, well, I don't really need anything right now, but sure, I'll go. And I'm the one that comes out there and with a three gigantic boxes full of merchandise, and he walked out with nothing. So it was kind of an impulse buy, but what I ended up doing is buying basically, I mean, it's not even a bare bones kit really. I pieced every component out and bought exactly the components I wanted to put this whole thing together. And the motherboard that I got is a Gigabyte. It's a Pentium 4 motherboard. I bought a P4 2.4 gigahertz. So it's quite an upgrade from the 866.
Yes.
And it's the model is a GA8SQ800. And it's, like I said, a Pentium 4 motherboard. I picked it because, well, one very shallow reason. They had some other ones, what is the company? Is it Abit, I think, or is it Asus? Anyway, I shied away from them for the very, very shallow reason that they are yellow, and I hate yellow motherboards.
No way.
Yes, I just cannot stand a motherboard that's made that golden yellow, that ugly. Oh, I just can't stand them. I don't know why. So this one was kind of a blackish, greenish, bluish, kind of darker color. And I actually, the case that I bought is an open window case. So I thought it might look a little nicer inside. And truthfully, it did have more power on the board. It was a little bit more expensive. It has 5 PCI slots, and I have a lot of peripherals, as people can imagine. My ripping the video files from my camera and from TV and all kinds of different things. I fill up PCI slots quick. So that was a handy feature. Some of the others only had, they sell them that have one PCI slot sometimes, so real, real cheap motherboards. But this one has 5. It also has AGP 8X. So that's a big, big upgrade. My old system only had an AGP 1 with the video card that I was using. So I can use a much faster video card, which is good for gaming, as I'm sure a lot of people know. And what surprised me about this, too, was this has onboard 6.1, or what is it, 6-channel audio built onto the motherboard.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, that's, I found it unusual because I have the Sound Blaster Live, which is 5.1, but it's not, believe it or not, it's not as good as probably this 6-channel onboard, and I just kind of shocked me that they have that built onto the motherboard. Now, you don't have to shell out to buy, I mean, you probably get that, there's a newer Sound Blaster Live, mine's a Sound Blaster Live Value, which is the cheapest version of the Live series, but they have the new, is it Audigy or Outigy?
Yeah, they got Audigy, Extigy, yeah, they got a bunch of stuff.
So some of those probably would be better than this, but 6 channels is also an upgrade from what I was using before, so that was also a bonus. And it has 4 DIMMs, which is also a lot. Most of them that I saw actually only had 2. This one has room for 4.
Nice.
I can't afford to fill 4 up, but they're there if I want to in the future. And that's another reason when I bought this and I chose this motherboard, because it has a lot of expandability. I don't know if that's a word, but I can easily upgrade and add new components and swap out the processor if need be at a later date. So it's very, very upgradable. And another feature which I was looking for and wanted to try is that this has onboard RAID, support for onboard RAID. So,
cool.
Yeah, down here I live in Florida, as listeners may know, and we have a lot of electrical storms, and frankly, I go through hard drives pretty quick, way too often. Even though I have surge protectors and I have UPSs on all the equipment in my house, they still sometimes I'll get these bad spikes. It's just the weather down here, and the electric company down here is not that good. So I decided I wanted to start backing stuff up more often, so I thought this would be a good way to go. And obviously, since this is a gaming machine, I was going to put Windows XP on it. And it turns out, from what I understand, that Windows XP does not support RAID.
No way.
And I haven't confirmed that 100%, but yes, somebody told me that just today, as a matter of fact. So that I'm pretty bummed about. So
Windows 2000 then?
Yeah, well, I could go 2000, but I mean, it's for a gaming machine, and 2000 wasn't the friendliest thing for gaming. So I still haven't decided. I'm probably still going to go with XP, but I'm going to have to write my own script, my own, I don't know, maybe a cheap bat file or just a Windows script to maybe run at 2 or 3, 4 in the morning and just do a copy start out start basically, or just a backup over to a different drive or something like that. So that
very
was
nice.
A little disappointing. But the motherboard, again, two other features that it had on it is that it has onboard USB 2.0. And has onboard FireWire, which is very cool. So I don't have to use any separate cards. My older system did not have, it had USB 1.1, so I had to use a PCI card to be able to get USB 2.0 support on it. And it had no FireWire support whatsoever, so I had to buy another card for that. So, you know, that's two PCI slots freed up just from doing that. So the one drawback to this that I really don't need, because I've gone wireless now, but I was surprised to find it does not have a network card built into it. Most of the motherboards now build the network card in, and this one did not.
That's very surprising.
Yeah, but again, I'm on wireless, so I just put the USB wireless adapter in there, and I'm set. But yeah, it was surprising. So overall, it's a very, very powerful motherboard with only a few drawbacks. So, you know, Gigabyte has made great stuff as far as I've ever seen. I've never had any problems with them. And Asus also usually makes good stuff. But, I'm very happy with it. And hopefully everything will go smooth by the next show. Maybe I'll let you know if I had any problems getting it up and running. Right now, it's up, and I just have not installed any operating system or anything. I just made sure that it's powered up and that the fans and all that kind of good stuff are working.
And it's fashionable.
Absolutely. Something's got to be lit, and you know, I got that lighting system in there, and I got to, you know, show off the motherboard.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, a couple of numbers. What range for the processor will it support?
Well, it's one of those weird situations where the box was probably printed when, before, you know, and faster processors came out. So it says supports up to a P4 2.8. But frankly, it will probably easily support the 3.0s and even higher, because it is up to date. It's the, the Northbridge, is that what it's called? The 533 on the 533 bus. So
right.
It should be able to handle pretty much anything coming out for a while. So that's another thing, is later if the 2.4 even gets slow, I can upgrade with just a processor upgrade. I won't have to buy a new motherboard, maybe up to 4 gigahertz if they don't change the architecture a lot.
And it'll take up to a gig of memory, I take it, with the four slots?
Right. Right now I just have one 512 in there, so actually I would think it would take up to 2 gigs.
Usually they support 3.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you heard me. Usually they support 3.
Oh, yeah?
I personally like the Transmedia Caruso. Well, that's kind of biased, but because I like Linux. Transmedia Caruso, though, is real neat because its hardware is actually pretty slow, and the software is faster than the hardware, because the chip is just a chip. I'm not sure the exact specifications, but the software emulates an x86 environment, and you can go to their website occasionally and get upgrades for your processor. You can upgrade the speed by software.
Really? Now, do you use a Transmedia processor?
Oh, I wish.
You wish?
Yeah.
I thought they were mostly for laptops.
I like AMD.
You run AMD? Now, you've had some hardware problems recently, have you not, Condor?
Yeah, it's not with AMD, but it's rather with everything I've been doing.
Everything?
Yeah. I was working on my computer on Wednesday, and I turned it off for the night. I sometimes do that, sometimes don't. Turned it off for the night, and I came back from school and tried to turn on my computer. It wouldn't work. And it ended up being a power supply. I was pretty upset about that.
Tell everybody about your fix.
Oh yeah. Well, I have a second box which I usually test new. Like if I'm trying to upgrade from FreeBSD or something like that, which I've never gotten to work. Still never gotten to work. I usually try to work on the secondary box with the experimental stuff. And well, I took that power supply and put it in my main box. It wouldn't work. It's a little too small. So I duct taped it to my hard drive, to my motherboard, and to my case. And every time I would bump it or anything else like that, it would restart because the wire connections were loose on the motherboard.
So the connector wasn't even the right size.
Right. It was real strange because usually they're universal, and this one, I guess, wasn't. And I duct taped it.
That is a hacker's fix right there, baby.
Yeah, that is very strange, though, because they are usually universal sizes.
Right.
Yeah. But it worked. It worked. Okay, so you got the power supply fixed. I know I'm going to speed this up. Your hard drive went bad.
Saturday, hard drive went bad, 40 gig. Had a 3-year warranty on it. I'm going to send it in. So I went to Fry's on Sunday, got a 120 gig hard
drive. Woo! Sick.
I only used 18 gigs on my previous drive. And I got an 8 meg buffer and all that stuff, 3-year warranty.
So 10 times the size you need.
Right.
Now tell us about, and this is funny, I think it's funny, tell us about the DVD drive you bought.
Oh, yeah. I bought a DVD drive because my DVD slot drive was acting up. It would buzz every time I put in a CD. I guess it's seen its final days or something like that. Either way, I bought a real cheap one, $50 or $60, I'm not sure which. Either way, I bought it, took it out of the package. It had been pre-bought. At Fry's, they put little stickers on saying that this has been pre-bought. Well, I bought it and opened it up, put it in, and it wouldn't eject. Detail, it was kind of the little drive thing, the ejector thing, was like kind of a jar a little bit, like just out of the... It shouldn't be in. It wasn't in all the way.
The tray was ajar just a little bit.
Right, just a little bit, and I looked at the seal, the warranty void if broken seal, and it had already been broken. The previous owners unscrewed the bot, unscrewed the little thing, and looked at it. I looked at it also and found some person probably from Thailand or Taiwan probably got lazy and didn't put in a gear because there was a gear missing.
Now let's clarify. We're not saying that anybody from Taiwan or Thailand is lazy. We're just saying that something was wrong. Actually, I wondered this when you told me this story, and you've got some crappy luck, by the way. But I wonder, you know, back in the day, there used to be a scam where you could go buy an external modem, pull out the modem, stick any, you know, put a freaking EGA card back in the case, and then take it back to whatever store you got it from. I wonder, is it possible to take out the drive contents of a DVD, CDRW, whatever, out of the metal case, the box that it comes in, and then and reuse it, and put it in another, and then send it back? I wonder if that's possible.
That's possible, but why would somebody go through that much trouble just for a little gear? That's what I...
No, not for the gear, for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for the whole drive. So, you've got this crappy old 8-speed CD-ROM, right? So you go buy a DVD, swap them out, send it back, and then you buy it.
Well, that's illegal.
And that's dishonest.
Yeah, illegally dishonest. And
guess what? I'm stuck with a shitty DVD drive.
A guy like me is going to buy it and find out, oh, man, I have to go back probably tonight or tomorrow night and get another one.
That's right. The joys of hardware, baby. The joys of building your own box. You know what? It's kind of fun. That's part of the adventure. And I hope everybody likes Stank's Hardware Review. We're going to have more of those. Hopefully we're going to have some special components. He's going to be making this hot rod box, and he's going to be sharing it with everybody. I say it's time. Enough hardware. Let's talk. Freak news, baby. I've got some good stuff this week. Really good stuff. Actually, Network Computing, it's an industry mag. I get it for free. You lie and tell them you're like some CTO or something, or you're the head ass of technology at your company, and you get free magazines.
Check the box that says CEO, decision maker of the department, and you'll get it for life.
That's right. CEO of Old School Freak. The magazine, again, is Network Computing, and the article, actually it's more like a column in Buzzcut, Telco Monopolies Back in Vogue. That's right. I'm going to read this quickly. It's really good. The FCC recently attempted to clear up many elements of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. In doing so, it has created an even bigger mess. What's at stake is who can provide services to residences and businesses over the next few years. 7 years ago, the FCC tried to promote competition by forcing ILEX, incumbent local exchange carriers, to give CLEX, competitive local exchange carriers, access to their copper and fiber. That's the local loop. Okay, a little background. ILEX are the baby bells from the breakup of 84, right? Quest, you know, all those are box. CLEX are the new local exchange carriers, the little companies, the startups that want access to the local copper, the local loop. So where was I? Access to the copper and fiber. This did indeed spur growth in the voice market. Data LECs also began popping up as they piggybacked on loops laid by the ILEX. But with its latest ruling, the FCC has done several things to squelch competition. First, while ILEX must still provide CLEX with access to existing copper loops, the ILEX won't have to let CLEX use any new or upgraded loops. This means that if an ILEX pulls new fiber to a residential area or a commercial building, the ILEX won't have to share it. The FCC also gave states the right to decide what an ILEX will be required to unbundle and provide to CLEX, which could force a CLEX to negotiate with many jurisdictions and provide a fragmented set of separate services. States were also given jurisdiction over facilities-based competition, which can make CLEX pay for their own facilities, and there's, you know, switches cost a lot of money. While you're at it, FCC, why not just hand everything back to AT&T and call it a day? Darren Woods. Great article. Great column, I should say. Now, wait a minute. Let me think about something. I wonder if it's coincidence that this coincides with the telecommunications bust. Don't know. Next. Ooh, I like this one a lot.
Actually, if I can add a small comment to that.
Please do.
These baby bells, even with the Telecommunications Act and the breakups that were supposed to have happened and foster competition, did absolutely nothing because they didn't cooperate as the time went along anyway. Yes, they had to give up certain things, but anybody who's ever tried to get DSL knows that usually you'll only have one option. Maybe if you're lucky, you'll find like Earthlink was one that tried to really fight as long as they could, and there's a couple other DSL. But all they ended up being able to offer was, since they're having to go through the same lines, well, for example, I'll use my Bell South, for example, they will have to lease the line to this, and the reseller will sell it to you at a different price. But what they do is they don't give you full capacity on that line. They've got things they can hide behind. They don't have to give you a full 1.5. You get Earthlink through DSL, you know it's going over the same damn copper because that's what they're using, and that was the whole point of the Telecommunications Act. So you know the transport is the damn same, but somehow you'll only get half speed or 500K or something along those lines, whereas the same exact line, same exact service from Bell South will get you 1.5. So even when they were doing it, they weren't cooperating and weren't giving full cooperation with these companies. So...
yeah, it's basically a clusterfuck.
Yeah, well, there's not really a better word that you can come up with. I mean, they just never cooperated the whole time. So it was, I guess, well-intended in a lot of ways, but it just never delivered, just like so many other bills and laws and stuff that our government passes.
Yeah, and I really think that...
Freak knows, I won't take it there.
Yeah, no, please, no.
real quick, let's just bring up the subject. Well, it's kind of almost a monopoly, right?
Yes, that's why they had the breakup originally.
Right. Now, what if you were to have, you know, at my, in Phoenix / Scottsdale, we have buses that go, right? Just like any other city.
Right.
What if you were to have the city were say, yeah, it's open. Go ahead, buses. Have your, you can open up a bus business anytime. You'd have buses, like, going 75 miles per hour on a residential street trying to pick up one rider. I mean, I just think that this is what we're talking about in my economics class, is that these monopolies are sometimes good. Sometimes. I mean, I don't want to see a bus charging down my street trying to pick me up and then get 75 cents for it. Or
you're right, actually. It's I call them beneficial monopoly, or no, benevolent monopolies. Like, what's a good example? Well, power. Look what happened at the deregulation of power in California. It went to shit damn quick. Power, right? SRP in Arizona, that is a benevolent monopoly. You know, that's for the better of the people. And it doesn't make sense, economic sense, to have privatization of, let's say, roads or defense. It does not make sense. So that's a whole nother branch of studies. And
make you think.
Yeah, what's that?
Just to make you guys think.
Yeah, make you think. Go read an econ book. Let's see. FBI seeks internet telephony surveillance. Boring. I'm skipping that. Actually, it's not boring. It's actually a good read. Go to Security Focus and read that yourself. This one, I think, is more. Actually, this one, I think, is a little more. I think it's more exciting. And it, you know, I'm sick of freaking surveillance and all this shit. I want to talk about stuff I like to talk about in the freak news. And this one actually kind of goes into the last article. Phone numbers are soon to go mobile. What this is talking about is local number portability for cellular phones. Actually, and let me, a quick, very brief local number portability primer here. LNP, local number portability. Here's what happened. It was found that people would not switch, right? We want equal access. We want people to be able to choose who they want for their telephone service. Well, it was found that people wouldn't switch because they didn't want to lose their telephone number. They wouldn't go to another company, right? They say, oh, this other company has great deals. I'd like to switch to them, but I'll have to lose my phone number, and I don't want to do that. So what do we get? We get local number portability. There's three types, provider portability, location portability, and service portability. What do we got? Service. Well, service provider portability is just what it sounds like. If you want to switch from Quest to AT&T, you can do that and keep your phone number. You're staying in the same location, and you're not changing your service. You're still on the POTS system. Location portability is where you can move, right? Move locations, maybe within the same toll center or without, you know, intralata, and keep the same phone number. That's where area codes come in, right? You got the same area code in a different state. And then finally, service portability, where you have, again, you've got, you know, you've got your single line on the POTS system, your one local loop, but you want to go to ISDN, you keep the same phone number. So those are the three types. Right now, you only have to worry about provider portability. And that's what is going to happen by November of this year. November 03, cellular companies have to make sure they provide provider portability for their customers. Life is about to get a little simpler for mobile phone users, who may soon avoid the hassle of changing phone numbers when switching wireless service providers, making it easier to take advantage of discount calling plans. Sure, it's not quite the greatest thing since sliced bread. Actually, I think it is. LNP is awesome. I mean, do just a tiny bit of research and you'll see how involved it is. But it's a change that will make it easier for people to keep in touch no matter who manages the calls. And you know what? I'm not going to read this whole article. Go do a little research on yourself, by yourself, about LNP, local number portability. See what it's about. There's a lot of good sites about it. And just ponder, just think just a little bit how huge of a, I don't want to say problem, but how huge of an undertaking this would be. You know, to be able to move anywhere within the, you know, the United States, the contiguous 48, maybe even Hawaii, and keep the same phone number. I think that's pretty cool. And if you, you know, you consider all the switching that takes place and all the signaling, that's some pretty advanced stuff, pretty big databases that are being queried. So phone numbers are soon to go mobile. Actually, I wouldn't want that. I like to change my numbers. I mean, I change my home number, you know, pretty frequently. If I change service providers, I want a new number, man. I want to experience a new exchange, you know? Give me a new number.
Back in, like, fourth or third grade, my parents had switched our phone number because they gave it out too much. like the strangers.
Yeah, exactly. And guess what? You know, your phone number, you can even be very careful, but guess what? Your phone number is going to get out there somehow, some way. Somebody's going to, you know, leak it out. You're going to have to fill out some form somewhere. Somebody's going to need to call you, and, you know, who knows how it gets out into these telemarketers' lists, and you'll have to switch your phone number.
I know. I know how it gets on telemarketers' lists.
How's that saying?
Fucking sell it. That's a very easy answer.
Yes, well, we do know that, and that's why I like to change my number. I like to do it anyways, you know, some moving target. But that is the freak news.
You sell it twice. They get double the value for it.
Yeah, I'm a big...
Right, and your new number.
I'm a huge freaking revenue maker for the slime balls. All right, that is the... freak news. No! Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Stank, I'm so sorry. That's not the freak news. Oh, my God, I feel terrible.
It doesn't have to necessarily fall under the freak news category, but it is a good segue.
I think it is freak news. And actually, Stank got a new phone, and you know, first I want to hear about your plan, and then we'll talk to tech.
Yeah, I won't. Yeah, just quickly, I'll say that local number portability, that cellular portability, could have been good for me and my situation because. Well, actually, I'll stay on that topic since we're kind of in the freak news. Why do you think? That service you just mentioned, I agree, is good, and I like having that option. You like switching it, I understand, but either way, is it fair? Do you think there's a reason for them to charge me $3 a month for a portability fee?
They're not going to charge you that much. It'll probably be, I think I read that there's going to be caps that providers are going to charge, you know, they'll charge each customer, you know, 20-something cents a month for 5 years. Like, they'll put a cap on it, and that's how it's going to be paid.
I hope they stick to that. What they say and what they do are two different things.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, if anybody has, because I know there's got to be local number portability for landlines right now. If anybody has those charges on their phone, let me know. I'd like to see how much it is, how long you've been paying it. Yeah, you're right, it is. It's a boon to many, many people. I really, in today's time and climate, I guess, yeah, you know, I've heard from quite a few people. Quite a few, quote, normal people that they like keeping their own number. I've had this number for years and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. I think it's boring. So I guess, yeah, it'd be good for customers. I don't think where it would be...
Well, businesses especially would want to stick with that number, of course.
That naturally. That, of course. But I don't see... Well, there, you can get an 800 number. I don't see how it would be for your average cellular user, you know, a deal maker or breaker. I really don't. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I'm sure I am. Let's hear about your plan. Who did you go with?
Well, I switched from Verizon over to, I wasn't sure, so I kind of shopped around, and it turns out the best plan for me turned out to be with T-Mobile. And actually, I didn't even consider them in the first round. They weren't one of the biggest names. They weren't one of the big three or big four. But I kind of looked around, and none of the big ones had anything singular, Verizon. I even looked at AT&T. I looked at a lot of different, you know, options, and none of them had anything that just appealed to me. I really didn't want a lot. I just wanted a few more minutes, doesn't everybody, and I wanted the ability to send text messages. Preferably, SMS has become fairly popular, and a lot of phones and a lot of companies support that, but ideally if I could get some other type of messaging, some of the newer internet phones and stuff like that. And T-Mobile turned out to have the best offer for me. And the plan that I got is what they call the internet plan.
The what?
It's called an internet plan. It's this new interconnected network thing. Well, read about it. Anyway, the internet plan, what it does is it gives me 300 minutes, which I don't use a whole lot of minutes on the phone. Gives me 300 messages, incoming or outgoing, and it gives me 1 megabyte of internet bandwidth or internet download, which on a cell phone is a lot more than it sounds like, because you're not pulling down a lot of big graphics, a lot of downloaded files and stuff. It's, for the most part, it's just messaging, and, you know, you can browse some very simplified web pages.
Yeah, headlines.
Right. So it's good for that. So that turned out to be the best for me, and that was only $29.99.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was surprisingly cheap, and it lets me try out the internet features, because normally you'd have to pay, like a $10 add-on to most of the other packages to add on a couple megs of download. So this package offered me 1, so I'll get to try it, I'll get to use it, and see if I like it and see how it works out. And, you know, so far it's been pretty good. I sent you a couple of files earlier that we'll talk about in a second. That I was pretty impressed. I'm actually happy with it. But I was even more impressed with, and this you know, you just got them saying, would that be a deal breaker, a deal maker, the number portability? Not really, you know, because I don't mind changing once in a while too. But what is a deal breaker to me is lack of customer service, customer support, and just downright politeness.
No doubt.
When I call T-Mobile, I kind of had a plan with the call. I was doing a little social engineering to get some information from them. But they were so friendly on the phone. I have to say, they were just very friendly. They were very polite. I called and basically made a couple different calls. You got to do this in spurts, because when you call, you got to op hop or whatever. I don't know if you guys have a better term for it, but hop through different operators and find what you want. Usually they're happy to go through a couple numbers and say, hey, is this available? Is, you know, 31337, is that available? Is 12345, you know, those kind of things. You can ask them a couple of those and they'll try them. But after a few of them, they'll say, I'm sorry, I can't look through anymore. I have to assign you, you know, a random number. So what I did is I made a couple different calls and I got, each person I got a few. I said, what exchanges do you have in my area code? So I just wrote down a few lists of the area code, so I got the first three digits. And then what I did is sat down and kind of looked at those and tried to see if I could come up with a cool number or a cool pattern or something like that. And then I finally called back. And I actually haven't told you this part of the story yet, Duel, but I called back for the last time when I was ready to commit and get a number. And the operator I got, and Condor, you'll appreciate this too. The operator I got, you'll never believe his name.
Emmanuel.
I'll give Condor a guess because I think he'll get it.
Huh.
I really don't know.
It was Kevin. Linus.
Oh.
And I'm like, are you? I was stunned for a second. I said, "Are you really Linus?" And I said, "Do you know that's the guy?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, I know. I've heard." I thought that was kind of funny, and it was kind of a thing. I said, "Well, Linus, I said this is what I'm thinking about. I'm wondering if you have. I think if this exchange has this number available," and I threw a number out at him. It didn't work. I went to one of the other exchanges that also mathematically worked out to what I wanted, and sure enough, they had that four-digit extension available, and that's what I got my phone number. So I was able to get a number that's easy to remember, which unfortunately I can't share on the air, but it turned out to be a pretty fun number, a pretty easy number to remember, and I'm happy with it.
That's hilarious. I want to do that myself now.
Yeah, they're definitely, I have to give mad props to Linus specifically and to T-Mobile in general, because when I called a few times, they were very cooperative with me, they were very patient, they were very friendly, and they knew, you know, they knew what an exchange was, you know. I didn't have to say, yeah, the first three digits, you know, that are in the, you know, I didn't have to, they knew what I was talking about, and I asked them a couple other questions, some technical questions about their plans, and they were actually very sharp about it, and I was thoroughly impressed. So big ups to T-Mobile for having competent people on the phone, which is apparently a lot to ask these days.
It is. Hey, yeah. Shouts to Linus and the rest of the Peanuts gang. You know, customer service, to me, that is the make or break. That's why I left Altel. They sucked ass. And now I'm at AT&T, and I've been very pleased. Very, very pleased ever since. Now, you, what kind of phone did you get? You got a Motorola what?
It's a Motorola T720i.
Is it one of those tiny little clamshell phones?
Yeah, it's you know, the other phone I had was like the free phone that they throw in with the deal, and it got the job done, but it wasn't fancy, and it was kind of clumsy, and it was just the belt clip ended up wearing off after a while, and it was just, I didn't like it, and I couldn't hear. That was another thing. It was difficult to hear on the phone. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's bad for a phone, Stank. That's
so yeah, I'd always like the style of the flip phone, the clamshell, whatever you want to call it, the flip phone. And it's so much easier. There was a couple specific things about this model that sold me on it. One was the antenna. It's very small. It's one of the little small knob antennas. Now, they have small antennas on most of the flip phones, but this one is, I mean, maybe a quarter inch, if that.
Nice.
You know, very, very small. So when it's in your pocket, it doesn't jab you in the leg or anything.
That's right.
So, and you can put it in your pocket, front pocket, back pocket, easy. Comes with a clip with the package, which was, you know, serves its purpose quite well, actually. And it comes with a free camera. And that was that was bonus. That was not a deal breaker for me. That was just like, hey, that's kind of neat, you know, throw in.
A free camera meaning attachable?
It's they had another model phone. It was the Samsung, I want to say S500, but don't hold me to that. that has where the clamshell bends, where it turns, that little fold area,
yeah,
has the camera built in there.
Cool.
And that was the best design. That was the best looking, and probably, but that was 500 smackers.
Woo.
Yeah, so I'm like, no,
yeah.
I can get a computer for that. I think I'll buy I can get two of those. What was that $200 one that you got from, was it Fry's?
From Fry's, that's right.
Yeah,
I can get a lot of hookers for $500.
Yeah. Oh, no, I went with a cheaper phone, and it's it actually turned out to be, I don't mind saying, it was $150 after rebates, which is a pain, but, you know, $150 for all the features. It's full color. Supports all the messaging I had before. The menu system and the icons are a little clumsy and a little messy, but yes, I'll get used to those with time. But overall, I'm very, very satisfied with the camera, with the size, with the one knock on the reviews I read was people said the battery didn't last very long. Well, I haven't had any problems whatsoever with the battery, and I have been using it, and I've been using it quite a bit, and I've been playing with the camera. Now, with the camera plugged in, I have to say, what it is the bottom where you normally would charge your phone from. The camera is a little accessory. It's not. It's maybe an inch wide by, I don't know, half an inch tall, three quarters of an inch tall, and it plugs right into that little slot on the bottom.
Right.
So with the camera plugged in, it does suck the battery down a little bit.
That's understandable.
You know, what it is it's pretty much a live camera as you aim and move it around, so it takes some power to do, but, you know, you just not made for filming, you know, DDP Hack TV, nothing like that, you know, for taking some quick snapshots, which I did. And Dual will put those up soon.
They will be up probably this weekend. They're actually really good photos.
I was very surprised.
Me too.
Again, I had no experience with this, so I took a couple of them just here and there just to see what it would look like. And on the phone, they look kind of like, you know, not all that impressive. But when I actually attached them and emailed them, and what you can do is your phone book, when you put your numbers in the phone, it keeps an email address also. And you just simply say, click on the send button, and you can attach it and send it, and it comes out of your 1 megabyte sends and receives. Each picture was between 10 and 15K. So, you know, you can send quite a few for a meg.
Yeah.
So I set it for the highest setting, highest quality, and they were that size. And I think it was 320 by 240 or something close to that, maybe like 312 or some strange number. But it was a pretty decent size, and it was much better than I expected. I really have to say it was... someone posted in the forums, I think it was Icon in the forums, posted some samples, and the one I had turned out a lot better than the sample, you know, it was...
Yeah, it did. I would be satisfied with that. I thought they were great quality.
Yeah, so now that I've tried it out, now I can do a little subterfuge, or whatever you want to call it. I'll go into Best Buy now, I can take some...
Yeah.
I'm going to take some screenshots of some kiosk hacking and a little... some good stuff like that, you know?
That's right. Don't forget the screen to get the right distance when you're taking pictures of documents.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome. Yeah, and I got to say this, that from my experience, Nokia has always kicked the ass of Motorola in usability. I mean, their menus, their buttons have always just been well laid out. Everything works well. You know, the ergonomics are great. Motorola phones, from my experience, have always just been crappy.
I don't push the phone as much as I push my computer. But yes, there is a noticeable, even like when you go from one menu to another, there's a hesitation that just this shouldn't be there.
I mean,
I think the OS that they use or the interface that they use is actually Java-based, so I would have expected it to perform a little bit better. But, you know, yeah, it was not the most impressive part of the phone.
Well, everybody, check out the site this week, and you'll see Stank's phone pictures on the stickers page, actually RFA sticker in action. Got a lot of stuff. I've got other RFA stickers in action pictures still. They're still coming in, which is great. Keep sending them. I've got an article to put up. I've got, what else? I've got a bunch of stuff. So check it out this weekend. Definitely I'll have some good stuff up on the site. Lots of new stuff for you to check out. Dude, Condor, you don't have a cell phone yet, do you?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, the thing is that I'm still in high school, okay?
Right.
And people who have cell phones in high school, I always tell them this question, who will call you? Are you that important?
That's right. Everybody you talk to is probably already here.
Right.
That's right. But you do have a job. You don't have to say where, but you have a job.
Everybody always gets a call during class and they don't answer it. And they press the little button that, you know, save this message or something like that. I mean, what's the point if you're not going to answer it?
But it's not like the movie Clueless?
Never seen it.
South Scott deal.
All right. I think that's a good show.
I think you can now close the Freak News. I think that can end the Freak
News. Oh, yeah, we'll end the Freak News now. Good Freak News. Condor doesn't have a cell phone, but he does have a job. Here it is. All right, Freak News is over. I think we need to talk about a couple of DDP-related issues. Ooh, that was kind of a pun.
Issues.
And the pun being that we want to give some shouts out to Logan 5 for the layout of Binary Revolution. That's right, we announced that two shows ago?
Yeah, we announced that on the con line, but I think we give a little bit clearer definition today and a little bit a better idea of the direction and what's going on with that right now, especially since, two people we really need to shout out that have just been monumental in getting this thing really, really going. I mean, Logan 5, like you said, has done, literally jaw-dropping work on this. I'm not making this up. I'm not just stroking his ego. When he sent me some of the work that he's done on this, he's laying out the insides of this too. I laid it out, but there's a limit on what I can do. I'm just not an artistic person. I can make it look good enough to turn in for a report for school or something like that. But it just, he's an absolute professional, and I'm telling you, I don't know if I should say this on the air, but in my opinion, my biased opinion, this blows 2600 away.
Whoa.
I'm telling you, you've got to see the look and feel of it. And I've said all along how happy and how content I am with the content. I mean, it's our first issue, so, you know, it's a lot of stuff that we've written in-house. It's all DDP for the first one, but in the future, we are going to be accepting articles and submissions from people, and all that information will be in the first issue of the zine. I wish I could say available in a store near you, but until we get a lot of that worked out and get off the ground right now, we're going to have to get that off the web, which brings us to our second person we got to shout out, and that's our good friend, Bland Inquisitor.
Oh, yeah.
Completely done a great job, and is every day is making further and further steps, but we have registered the site binrev.com, BINREV.com, which he is setting up and being the official webmaster for and taking care of all that. We're trying to try to put it up where we can order over the web. We'll be able to order over the web somehow. It may have to be through P.O. Box, through PayPal or something, but we're going to try to set up a way to order it over the web more easily for everyone, and we're going to be delivering these to 2,600 meetings and places like that, so keep your eyes open in the future. But it couldn't have happened without the help of these two guys and without the help of everybody, really. I mean, it really has got a lot of great stuff in there and some surprises for some people, and it's just, I'm so proud. I'm just so proud of it. It exceeded even my high expectations, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, again, we will make sure that it is available for you on the web, and this is going to be a good magazine, and we're not looking for profit here, right? We're going to sell this magazine. Honestly, it's going to cost us a lot, especially up front,
yeah,
to print this and distribute it. So all the costs, you know, it's going to be $5, just like $2,600. That's going to go...
Well worth it, believe me.
Yeah, we're going to use that to cover our costs, and then anything we make is going to go into issue 2, which hopefully you will be a part of. That's right, anybody checking out this show can send in their stuff and be in this magazine, and we're going to get the stuff out, we're going to get the info out to the people, because this is going to be a revolution. Again, Binary Revolution at binrev.com. Get it, /bin/whatever, binrev.com. Will Condor be surprised this issue?
Oh, everybody, yeah. I think, a lot of people are going to be surprised with this first issue. There's a lot of mentions in there. There's a lot of references there in there that a lot of people are going to get. And the content is just fantastic. I mean, you have an article in there. I've got an article. Bland has articles in there. Mute on his hiatus with his whole ass problem.
That's right.
Articles in there, you know, Nick 84. I mean, it's packed, and I'm not saying this to toot our horn, but this is all these are people that have been published by 2600 in the past, published by Outbreak, published by Radical Future,
Frequency.
Yeah, just every. I mean, this is not just thrown together by people that you don't know. This is thrown together by people who have been around and been in the scene for a while, and it's a good mix of people who have been around and people who are new to the scene who still have a lot to add, and it's just, I mean, it's like I said, I'm very, very proud of it. I'm very proud to have my name involved with the talented people that worked on it, and I just really can't say a whole lot more about it. It's just, you know, I if I was on the other end, I would gladly want to get my hands on a copy of this, because, you know, you can read stuff online all day, and there's great stuff out there, but sometimes you just want to curl up in a chair and read away from the computer, but still read the same content. And 2,600 every 3 months is great, but now we're going to try to give you another option. Hopefully, I'm not going to commit to this, but hopefully every 3 months as well.
Yeah, in between would be even better, because, you know, honestly, I can't wait for that 2,600. I love having that magazine.
Well, absolutely.
I love reading it. You know, I just like you said, I like to hold it. You know, I like to sit on a can and read 2,600.
And let's not try to claim that, you know, anything against 2,600. We still love it. We still support. We still submit articles to there as well. And the zine has a lot of things where we emulate 2,600 and pay some homage to 2,600. You know, one of the things I like about 2,600 is the letter section. So I definitely would like to beef up the letter section right now. That's where, you know, like a lot of people might see their names in the letter section right now. I'd love to expand that. I'd like to make the issue grow. The first issue right now is set at 40 pages, so I'd like to see that go up. But again, that depends on people submitting and people showing some interest. And, you know, we want this and we like doing this, but I hope that there are other people that are out there that want this and can make this happen. And like you said, the $5 is going to cover printing costs, and anything extra will go into printing extra copies of the next issue to help us grow. Frankly, we're going to probably operate at a loss for quite a while, because it's not cheap to break into something like this. It's really a lot more to it, especially if you want it to grow and to get it out there. And we're definitely going to be hurting for a little while, but we're not doing it for that. Like you said, we're doing it for the love and for the need. I mean, there's a need for more information. We had the Hackers Underground Digest was out for a while. We had Blacklisted 411. I bought all of those in addition to 2,600. It's not a competition thing. It's not an either-or thing. It's more. And we've always said, more is better.
Yeah, 2600 has always encouraged other magazines. They've always encouraged that. And we're going to be doing it. And we're actually very fortunate. You know, there is a lot of, you know, DDP content, but we're very fortunate. We got a lot of good writers for this first issue. A lot of times that's very difficult because, you know, the name's not out there. The magazine is not out there. People aren't sending stuff in. We're very fortunate to have all these good writers, all these good articles in this great magazine. I know I'll be dropping down $5 to buy mine. So please, everybody, stay tuned. You're going to be loving Ben Rev. Go to BenRev.com. Check it out. We'll have more info up shortly.
And there's, I think by the time we air this, or very soon, there will be a link of where and how to submit your articles and your ideas and your things for it, too. And it's not just articles. It can be stories, poetry, letters, just simple letters, questions. Of course, you can always come by the forums with these things as well, but something you want for the magazine, send it to the BenRev.com address, and go to the BenRev.com site, and you'll have directions there on how to go about that.
And also, sorry, go ahead.
What's up, man? Go ahead.
Also, people need to realize that, I'm not criticizing or anything, but people need to realize that trying to get this magazine out there, because it's not fun with just a close-knit group, although a close-knit group is good, but it's just not good for a magazine. It's not very exciting. So try to get people to get the magazine, like your friends or anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can buy, you know, an extra copy or two and maybe help expand it, or, you know, if you have any other ideas, please feel free to email me personally or Duel and say, hey, I think maybe I can, you know, take these to the computer show or to my comic book store or to my, you know, if you got any ideas like that, by all means, we want to get this out there. We're doing this to teach people and to spread the word and to show people, you know, what we think is cool and what we think they think is cool. And, you know, that the more we people that we reach, you know, not to sound cliche or tacky, but the more we change the world. I mean, people want to read and see and learn from this stuff, and this is the way to do it. So the more people that hear, the more people that will learn. And that's the goal of this.
Yeah. Hallelujah, brother.
Hallelujah. Plus, you know what? It's going to be fun to read.
It is going to be kick-ass.
I can't wait. I really cannot wait. I'll be dropping some coin to get mine. I'm going to be giving some away. Yeah, check it out. Again, Go check out Blandside, binrev.com.
And again, mad props to Logan Fire.
Oh, yeah.
This blows my mind when I saw that. It's amazing.
He is professional.
It is amazing.
He's professional. Hey, Condor, thank you for joining us tonight, man.
No problem, anytime.
Better luck with the hardware, brother. And Stank, I will be talking to you soon.
Yep, same to you. And
all right.
Good night, everybody, and look for it in a... some location near you soon.
That's right. Stay tuned and give me your feedback. Should we move nights? Later.